Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Gary Olsey, founder of Birchmere 52 years ago.
Wow. As well as
Michael Jaworek, promoter for the Birchmere for only 30 years.
Now, I wanted to have you guys in. We've been, it's for a longer form thing. We've been interviewing a bunch of different venues around town and sort of taking a pulse on where the music scene is in DC, the changing landscape. You said 52 years ago that you started the Birchmere. What in your mind has changed since then? Now, what was the music scene? Let's go back. What was the music scene like when you first opened in DC? What other competition was there?
Well, Blues Alley, the Bayou, Psychedelic, clubs like that. The thing in those days, we all stayed in our own backyard. And now there's no such thing as a club that really just specializes in one thing or basically that's it. Yeah.
And how have you seen it change over the years? Like, what were some of the big, like, do you remember what the biggest competition was at one point? Was it not when 930 came, or what would you say has changed over those years?
The changing over the years was, more government funding, I used to compete with Seth at the 930 and the guys over at the Blues Alley, whatever. But it was their own money, so we didn't fight each other over it or whatever. We took our own risks.
Yeah,
there was a greater, I think, division where, say, Live Nation, then the Cellar Door, pretty much did the big pop stuff. Mm-hmm. IMP pretty much just did the new wave and alternative, and basically we presented the artists that they were not interested in. Mm-hmm. And now you have many.
Well, we were interested in them.
Well, yeah. Well, that's true too. But
and so are all the many fans have come.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Exactly.
But but now there are many, many presenters, both so-called for-profit and non-profit, competing for many different genres. Yeah. So the level of competition has greatly increased.
Mm-hmm. Which, you mentioned more government funding for other places now. Which places are we talking about? You mean Kennedy Center shows, or what are we talking about?
I don't want to, get into that. Yeah,
well, we don't have to disparage anyone, obviously. I think it's a rising tide.
Well, it's both, just without
trying
name,
to parse with, through
well,
it
without
bit.
Naming.
I mean, in 52 years, I keep low key. This is probably the only interview I've done in 25 years. Yeah. And I always, my theory is you stay under the radar and nobody will shoot at you, And right now, it's a seller's market because of all the places that have opened. Well, that affects the price of tickets, that
artists.
That affects the pay the artist gets, which really puts things out of whack because, believe it or not, as a club, we like to keep our tickets as low as we can because we're not allowed to make any money anyway as a promoter. So we make our money on food and drink. And yeah. No, we lost my train of thought there. But.
No, that was good.
Well, it's challenging when we cannot receive grants that nonprofits may receive, mm-hmm. and because of, say, liquor laws in the state of Virginia, we cannot receive subsidy from the brands as they can in the District of mm-hmm. Columbia and to a great extent in Maryland.
Right.
So we live and die by our money.
Yeah.
We're not playing with other people's money.
Right. No. What would you, over the years and today, what do you guys envision Birchmere's sort of niche in this? Because there's of all the different places, they all sort of serve their different purpose, going to see an artist at Verizon Center, Capital One Arena, or Wolf Trap is different than going to MGM or to 930 where is Birchmere's slice of the pie? Like, what do you envision that experience to be like?
Well, we Some guy in the city paper wrote recently, we play a lot of one-hit wonders. You know, of course, I'm sure this guy has never been to the club or anything. But one of our keys is that we do play the older acts, and the guys with the history, they still have fans, and they're still around. And also, one of our secrets is you can go see a show at the Birchmere. We start at 7:30. Not 9, not 10, and you're home if it's a school night, you know, or work night.
I think we play artists that the public really listens to hard.
Yeah.
That listen to the message in the content, and also that has, I think, a thrust that somehow or other has a long-lasting value.
Yeah.
However, that manifests in pop, R&B, jazz, country, and we do play all of those. The only areas we don't play are metal and hip-hop because the geography of right. the rooms yeah. that we have don't lend themselves to those. But I think at the end of the day, it's music that you listen to and pay attention to and is not dispensable, yeah. disposable. It's music that lasts.
Perfect. Perfect way to put it. And to your point, what you just said, the layout of the room is such a huge part of coming to the Birchmere. Explain why it's so special that, you know, unlike those other venues we've mentioned, when you come to the Birchmere, you get this intimate setting. You're sitting, you're having dinner. People are bringing you drinks and food to your table. And those tables are right up against the stage.
Right.
I can't use that clip if I say it. But, you know, one of you guys explain how the layout of the room is so perfect of an experience.
Well, it is a strictly enforced listening room. I mean, the artists know that, and they feel like because of the layout of the room, I mean, you feel like you're sitting in their living room, and it works both ways,
There's great communication yeah. between the artist and the audience in that environment. Yeah. The artist feels that their work is being paid attention to, and the audience feels that they are being spoken to directly. It's not lost in a large venue or one that's an open floor. The energy is very focused directly between the artist and the audience. It's not dissipated between the audience where they're talking to each other or getting up and going to get a drink. It's very, very focused. And I think that heightens the experience that any audience or artist has when they play the Birchmere.
Yeah. I remember it was a couple months ago or last year. What was it? Ann Wilson of Heart being there watching her. Mm-hmm. You almost didn't need the microphones there. You know, you're so intimate. Yeah. And she's belting, and you just feel like you're exactly. in a smaller room.
And
with
you
her.
Get an experience yeah. that, as artists tell us, they really don't find anyplace else.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is why we are able to maintain in the face of profoundly increased competition in the marketplace. It's the quality of the product.
Well, it is a listening room, and there used to be a lot of great listening rooms in Frisco and here in Chicago or whatever. They're all gone, and it's the last of the listening rooms. You know?
Why do you think they got... So you're saying the listening rooms, they more have got replaced by the more larger spectacle event kind of thing. But why do you think that society
economics and then standing up and, you know, you can, if we emptied the room out, we could put 2,000 people in there.
Right.
I mean, empty the tables out, but that's not what we do and not what we want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I admire and respect that you guys have that sort of, you know, that's your mission, and you keep it there. You know, maybe you can make a few extra bucks by taking the tables out, but no, that would change the whole, that's the whole point.
Yeah. And it works because of exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And there are some people who will not want it, and that's okay. But there are plenty that want a fulfilling experience mm-hmm. about music. People define themselves in many ways by their arts, by mm-hmm. the music they listen to in this mm-hmm. instance. And I think that kind of communication that's available and present in the Birchmere is why it works.
Yeah. let's pretend that someone's listening to this that somehow has heard about the Birchmere but never made their way over to Alexandria. Explain how easy it is to get to, and what sort of acts they can hear there. You know, like some of the artists that play there.
Well, as far as getting there, I mean, we're right off Route 1 and right near National Airport. We have our own parking lot. I don't know any club that has their own parking lot. It's well lit, lighted. It's
free, it's lighted, free. And secure parking.
And near Del Rey and Alexandria, you can go get a nice meal and come on over.
So the space is clean and open, and the stage sound is excellent. The lighting is excellent, and the talent's excellent. And
It's all good news.
All good news, yes.
What are some of the artists that have played there in recent years?
Recent years? Well, we just had one of the iconic American artists who represents for all sorts of music. Ry Cooder came in for two nights. It was the first time he had done a headline tour in 37 years, and he chose the Birchmere. Tonight, for example, we have a very, very fine singer-songwriter, Matthew Sweet, who also has written the material for a musical that just finished playing or is still playing over at Signature Theater. Mm-hmm. Later in the month, we have great R&B in the form of Life Jennings and Mesa. And we just had a wonderful jazz sax player last night, David Sanborn. Mm. So we present a wide variety of music. And we even have some theatrical type or one-man shows where we just had Charlie Ross's one-man Star Wars, where Charlie does the three first movies within about 75 minutes and does all the parts.
Wow.
And
not like Bill Murray. Star Wars.
Right. And at the end of the year, we have one of our favorite comedians, Piff, the Magic Dragon.
Nice. Well, that's sort of a roundup of what's coming up in the coming months. But how about look back in, last 3 to 5 years. What are some of the big standout shows that you remember?
Well, Ray Charles played his last date he ever played in a Birchmere.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yes.
What year was that?
80.
Anyway. Yeah, I'll look it up. Yeah.
Well, you know, he died a few months later. They had told us when he left the building that they was canceling the tour, that he had a hip operation or had to have a hip operation, but that wasn't true.
Oh, my God.
And we had B.B. King, Etta James, Buck Owens, Vince Gill has been there.
Merle Haggard,
Waylon Jennings, Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash played the Birchmere?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Wow.
And
what was that show like?
Oh.
Do you remember?
Like Johnny Cash.
It was transcendent. It was wonderful. When he did three songs in a row and then said, "Hello, I'm Johnny Cash." Then I knew I was in show business.
Yeah. That's so amazing. Any other favorites over the years?
There's been 1,000 people that came up. I mean, Lyle Lovett played there before he ever had a record. And same with Vince Gill.
Yeah. Bela Fleck. When he first formed the Flecktones. Yeah.
So, Lyle Lovett's first large band date was at the Birchmere. So.
Wow.
I'd have to get the book, and it all fades into
Those are, I mean, Johnny Cash and Ray Charles. That's some good
stuff. Pretty heavy. Don't forget Little Richard now.
Yes, sir.
He was in there too.
Yes, sir.
Oh my gosh! Good golly!
Twice.
But that's also what's cool when you go there. I love seeing all the different albums and records on the wall of all the people that have played there. So
the Neville Brothers.
Explain for our listeners why they should come early and take a little peek at those records.
Well,
trip down memory lane.
It's I don't know, but first like you say, you didn't know that person was played there. That's what we hear all the time. It's wow, they were here. I mean, even the bands come and take pictures in our hallway of the posters and stuff.
Jazz greats like Chick Corea, McCoy Tyner, John McLaughlin, singers like Diane Reeves, Katie Lang, and it goes on and on. Doc Watson, one of the great bluegrass artists.
I'll notice
Ralph Stanley.
I notice a lot of times when you get sometimes it'll be like a Kiefer Sutherland or Bacon Brothers or like a movie star that's also now branching out, or Billy Bob Thornton. Whenever we interview them, I feel like it's always at the Birchmere because they're playing, they're showing their stuff. Kevin Costner.
They know the right place to play for the music they make.
Even Steven Seagal.
He brought a band.
He had a blues act with Bernard Allison, a wonderful blues artist, backing him up.
Yeah.
We've had any number of movie stars there doing that sort of thing, and most of them actually are pretty good. Not
who else did we talk to that was? Oh, Bill Medley of Righteous Brothers. Yes, he talked to us when he. Do you find what sort of audiences, demographics? Is it a lot of like? All right, for instance, Righteous Brothers. It's probably an older, but they probably bring their families and they've raised their kids on it. So I mean, people like me would love to go see that show anyway. Yeah. You know, so is it all cross generation?
Yeah, it's a function of who's on stage. If it's a newer singer-songwriter, the audience will skew younger. If it's somebody who's a heritage artist like a Johnny Cash, well, Johnny drew everybody.
Yeah.
But if it's a heritage artist like Bill and the Righteous Brothers as they exist now, or Three Dog Night, who was just here, it's going to be folks that are older. Yeah. You know, but it's definitely a function of who the artist is.
Awesome. I mean, I've got 16 minutes of gold here. Should I? Anything else you guys want to say before we go? In the changing landscape of DC, why should our listeners keep the Birchmere in the regular rotation on their calendar?
Because they do not have to endure to enjoy when they come to the club.
All right.
I like that.
There is.
You should put that on a poster somewhere.
Well, the total experience is a positive one, from when you buy a ticket easily via online or phone. You can park free, securely. We always have a policeman in the lot. It's lighted, starting early because people get up at 6 and 5 and 4 in the morning.
Good food.
The food is excellent. It's all ages, so you could have an adult beverage, but your child will be there too. It's all good news, and that, I think, is why both the artists and the audience come to the Birchmere.
Awesome. Well, congrats on 52 years, you said?
52.
Yes, sir.
Can we get another 52? I would love to keep it going.
48, that's it.
48, and that's it? We'll cut it off there. 100-year, we'll cap it. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
My pleasure.